You seem like a person who likes to know what's going on in the world. But do you know what's going on in Kansas City? Start your morning with Kansas City Today. This daily news podcast tells you what's going on at home in 15 minutes or less. Listen to Kansas City Today from KCUR, part of the NPR network.
UpToDate wants to know what you're talking about with family and friends. You can text UTD to 816-601-4777 to tell us. Again, 816-601-4777. This is Up to Date on KCUR 89.3. I'm Steve Kraske. Kansas City has a sparkling new airport terminal. You may have heard that. Kansas City also has hundreds of potholes forming as we move into spring. You may have heard that too. Such is the life of a mayor, a billion-dollar new airport terminal on the one hand, potholes on the other. Joining us now to talk about this frustrating combination is the mayor of Kansas City, and that's Quentin Lucas. Mayor, always good to have you here. Welcome back.
Good morning, and it's great to be back with you.
Has the opening of the new airport terminal met your expectations here?
You know, it has. I think that most of the reviews, and we have heard a lot of them, have been fairly positive in the sense that people are seeing that there is certainly more light. It's a better architectural facility, obviously, but we have already attracted more flights. You are seeing more people eating, more people actually flying through. We've had very high passenger numbers so far. The concern is that leads to a few things. There is the traffic issue, which is a mix of perhaps user error and a bit of signage that we could enhance, as well as making sure that we're staying up to date as we can in terms of our cleaning, janitorial services, even clearing scuff marks off the floor. But I have been heartened by what we have so far and look forward to us at least making sure that we continue to open up an outstanding facility.
You're referring to long lines of cars, people lining up to pick up departing passengers. Is that getting straightened out?
You know, it is bit by bit. I think all of us have gotten used to over the last several generations getting able to really sit in front of KCI Airport. I've had to tell people post 9/11, you know, we really haven't been able to do that in America. We just, frankly, had so much territory to cover, nobody really ever got ticketed for it. This is, I think, one bit of growing pains, but it is getting better. The other thing I want to tell people, there are two lanes that take you into traffic to pick up an arriving passenger. A lot of folks are just queuing in one lane, traffic backs all the way up. It is an astonishing thing. But much like anyone who's dropped off kids at school or anything of that sort, those first days of school some days are tough, but it gets a little bit better over time. I think we're seeing that with KCI.
You mentioned that we're adding flights. What are you seeing?
You know, we are seeing more interest. Of course, Southwest announced recently flight expansions. I believe Long Beach, one of the routes, direct to Indianapolis being re-enhanced. And then, of course, Jamaica and Mexico as flight options. We're talking to other operators, particularly about domestic travel. International travel continues to be, I think, our white whale we are searching for long term. But at the same time, I think that you are seeing that increased interest because we can sell to any airline that we have a place that is not only a good location for normal departures from Kansas City, but also layovers. And I think you'll continue to see enhancement in flight options as the years go by.
So are international flights a realistic possibility going forward?
You know, I think they are, actually. I visited with Josh Earnest, a Kansas City native, a former White House press secretary. We also went to the same high school, just at different times. Huh. But nonetheless, I was with him at United Airlines a few weeks ago in Chicago. And we talked about not just the transatlantic options, which are discussed a lot. I know our peers in Kansas, perhaps interested in trans-Pacific options, given some of the businesses they've attracted. But the real area of growth for us is in other North American flights, new Canadian destinations where we're underserved, Montreal, Vancouver, even to Mexico City going to a point south. And so I think you will see more opportunities there that I think will only be good for the flying public in Kansas City.
Okay, let's turn to a very different topic, and that's potholes. There are some monsters out there, Mayor, just waiting to grab the axles of any unsuspecting driver. What kind of progress is the city making when it comes to dealing with those this spring?
This is pothole season. I think it was the election gods that always said potholes will be the worst right before elections, right? It happens every 4 years here in Kansas City. We are trying to get caught up. Last year, of course, we had a substantial resurfacing effort. That is to help prevent potholes, prevention being being much better than just trying to kind of Band-Aid cure it as we typically do. But our street crews are out going around now to not only fill potholes, but believe it or not, our springtime and summer resurfacing season starts next week. The weather will be warm enough for us to have more permanent solutions. We are getting caught up on it, but, you know, we recognize that they are all around. I actually was driving in Westwood, Kansas the other day and saw one, which is very rare for me.
Very close to my house.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, they're tracing you down,
yeah,
Steve.
Yeah, there you go.
And so every city, I think, is trying to keep up. And frankly, I think we're seeing improvements this year as we've seen year after year, at least during this last 4 years.
Is there anything in the mix in our high-tech world that would suggest that some combination of asphalt, concrete, other products can be made to sort of prevent potholes from forming to begin with?
You know, there are options that relate to that. I think what we have typically done, though, is to say that if we're actually staying on top of our resurfacing schedule, if the streets aren't fully failed, then we won't have these types of issues. But there are some streets where you have that happen. Warnell Road through Waldo is something that I hear discussed all the time.
Yeah.
A big part of that, of course, is our utility partners who, frankly, tear up streets, don't do the work that they need to do. And so we are continuing to try to fix that because a lot of our potholes are based off of bad road patches that then end up being bad roads, failed roads, and we see these issues again and again.
Well, the NFL draft is coming up in about a month, Mayor. How ready are we?
You know, I'm ready, but I would not be honest with you if when I listened to that news segment, I didn't just share this incredible frustration as a person who walks Missouri and Kansas, for that matter, and you hear what our state legislatures are working on. One of the biggest hits that Kansas City had in its scoring related to getting the World Cup related to human rights issues. And for the Missouri legislature and our new attorney general, who had hopes would be better than the last one, but he is proving not to be, and then over in Kansas as well, for them to spend their time just trying to marginalize and hurt young people and families is something that is incredibly distressing. When you talk about something that can be a true existential challenge, in my view, long term to our ability to attract big things like the World Cup or future NCAA tournaments, it is the hateful rhetoric that comes out of Jefferson City and Topeka each day. So, you know, to your question, I think we will find ways to have the stadium ready. We will raise the money. We do need to make sure we build a good transportation infrastructure network. But I am incredibly frustrated with the fact that I think there are people in our state capitals that are working against us every day.
Business leaders bring up this issue when you talk to them?
I wish they did more. Mm-hmm. I think it's the whole crisis, and you're talking to David Brooks next, and I've been reading his writing for years. It's a whole crisis, I think, largely on the Republican Party, particularly for those who consider themselves centrists.
Yeah.
At what point do they stand up and say that trying to terrorize kids and families is not important public policy? Missouri, for example, has a whole lot of challenges. And the fact that the Missouri legislature is not necessarily working with us to bring more jobs to Kansas City or St. Louis, to allow us to fund our schools such that we're not going to four-day schools in every area of the state, and instead are spending almost all of their time this session. I was down in Jeff City, so much time being spent on how can we harm families? How can we harm 12-year-olds? I mean, it's just astonishing to me, and it's something that I think continues to make this a hard place to live for a lot of people who might not even touch these issues, but say, you know what? I don't want to live in a place that's hateful. And I've had peers in the South for years who've settled in places like Alabama and others who've said, you know what? I just don't feel comfortable here. Wow. I shudder to think that maybe that will happen with Missouri and Kansas if this keeps going on.
Speaking of sports, what's the latest on a downtown baseball stadium? have you found a location or not, or where are we going?
You know, I always try to be honest with the up-to-date crowd, and I have this view. I think that within 10 years, the Kansas City Royals will be playing downtown. Do I know particular details? I do not. Why do I believe that? I have seen in this city over my years reading the great Kraskini and others that it seems whenever the moneyed interest in town get interested enough in an idea, it ultimately happens. There will be twists and turns along the way. There will be debates about how the funding will work out. But I think that that is what happens. And I think the Royals have pretty much expressed rather clearly that that is their plan long term to be downtown. To me, I think the question continues to be, how do we make sure that there is, to the extent the public is involved at all, a limit to what is the public engagement? Most of what I've heard discussed so far is just a renewal of the existing existing Jackson County sales tax. That might be something folks are somewhat interested in, but I have been heartened of late. I know the Stand Up KC group, which works for higher workers' wages, has mentioned better standards and pay for workers, not just who work on the construction project, but also those who are staffing the concessions at a new Kauffman Stadium, who are staffing janitorial services long term. I think that is a positive move, but I do think the Royals move downtown. Ultimately, the big question is, what does that mean for the Kansas City Chiefs? Do they stay at Arrowhead? Mm-hmm. And trust me, I hear from a lot of people who say, why are we even talking about this mm-hmm. when we have a city with a world of challenges? I think it's going to take a lot of balancing work. That work right now is the work of the Royals. I've said time and again, Kansas City will not negotiate it against itself. So we look forward to hearing from them what their plans may be and giving the up or down and engagement with the public on what the future holds.
I mean, there have been news stories that the Royals are even looking at a site up in North Kansas City.
Yeah.
How concerning would that be for them to leave Kansas City, Missouri proper and move up to North Kansas City?
Well, here's my view. I don't believe I do believe that they've talked to people and they're generating interests and all of that, and people call them all the time. And I think that happens for the Chiefs, too. I think when you look at the dynamics and the economics of baseball, with the exception of the Atlanta Braves, who recently moved to a more suburban community but kind of built up a downtown apparatus around them, most of these stadiums are getting built in the core of a city. And there's a reason for that. Walkability, density, the excitement that goes with it, the very reason the Kansas City current Soccer Club, who of our professional sports franchises are really just hitting a lot of great notes right now. I think there's a reason they're going downtown, because people want to be in that energy. They want to have that exciting event. And I think the Royals see that. They see that in places like Baltimore. They see that even in St. Louis. And so I expect them to be downtown, despite the fact that they'll continue to speak with suburban offers along the way.
You know, the Royals mayor have suggested they want to speed up the timetable here. When can we expect news on an announcement about where the stadium would be, or maybe a vote on funding? Any sense of the road ahead?
You know, I think it is actually sooner rather than later. I think this is one of those topics that doesn't want to just be bandied about for years and years. I do believe the Royals are narrowing locations. They've said that publicly. I think they will narrow locations further over the months ahead. And I would expect something, perhaps a public vote as early as, if not later this year, i.e. a November election, potentially maybe in the spring of next year. Mm-hmm. I do think they have a lot of work to do in terms of how is it funded? Who's being asked to pay? Is it mainly users and others? Is it a renewal of the Jackson County sales tax more popular? Or is it something where they're looking for a lot more uses and funders, which I think the people of Kansas City would have more qualms with?
You know, on a related note, you've received $45 million in commitments from private donors and from the federal government now to build a new downtown park above Interstate 670 downtown. You still have about $150 million more to raise to get this done. How confident are you that we're going to see this new park be built?
I'm very confident that it gets built. And the reason is this, that I believe, first, we for once have done a public-private partnership in the right way, which is the private money actually being first. Usually when people say public-private, they just mean we're going to hire a private company to do what we're needing to have built. I don't think that actually gets the job done. Mm-hmm. I think what we are seeing in this is commitments from folks like H&R Block to the tune of $10 million,
right,
just straight up, right? The Lowe's Hotel, which would be close to it. So I do think this project gets done. I do, however, think it gets done kind of in a block-by-block manner. Mm. So right now, the block between Central and Baltimore being mm-hmm. one of the early ones, Wyandotte and Baltimore, actually. Then that next block from there. That's the way that you'll see it, but I'm very confident. And for those who are wondering why downtown gets this attention and focus, first of all, we're spending affordable housing money citywide, but I think it's our ability to generate revenue long-term for the city. You are seeing more businesses, more residents coming back downtown, and that's something that we find heartening now.
How transformative would this project be? Because on one level, you think about it, it really would make downtown a lot more quiet, right?
Yeah.
It'd be a quieter place. You wouldn't have the traffic sound coming up from the interstate below.
It would correct a decision made in the past, and I say this with respect to many of our predecessors. We had this view in the 1950s and 60s of you can make downtowns great by making sure everybody could get in really quickly. Of course, that means they could also get out very quickly.
Yeah.
So we have built a city where you can get from Olathe to Liberty and go through downtown in a very efficient way, and we'll continue to have that. But I think the step that we needed to make was, how do you make it a neighborhood? This neighborhood that has dynamism, that does have green spaces, and frankly, doesn't just remind you always of a place you need to get out of. standing along 670 now and hearing semis and everything else going by says this ain't a neighborhood to be in. I think changing that to something that is more tranquil, something that makes you think more of perhaps even the plaza without controversy or a loose park or any of our other great Kansas City neighborhoods is really, I think, what a long-term goal is here.
We'll be back in just a minute.
Hey there, KCUR podcast listener. We at KCUR have a question for you. How do you describe us? Yes, us, like KCUR. What words come to mind? We can hear you thinking. Go to kcur.org/describe and actually tell us how you answer that question. That's kcur.org/describe. And thanks.
We have some questions on our text line, Mayor. One person wants to know, I would like to know if there are any plans to help maintain the plaza. Crime is up in the area and retail stores are shuttered. This is a gem of Kansas City and critical to tourism and our city. Seems like a public-private type of engagement or collaboration is what's needed there.
I have shared a number of times my concerns with issues on the plaza, particularly some of those relating to our current plaza ownership. I've had the chance to speak with them. I always look forward to that opportunity. But here's the issue. They need to invest in private security as well. It is not just calling KCPD when we have seen time and again issues, for example, particularly in parking garages. It is the sort of thing where public-private partnership does mean the type of investment you've seen downtown, for example, where we have our bumblebees, the downtown CID folks who have walked the streets, who have really changed the reputation of downtown over the last 25 years by having that presence.
Right.
We do not have that relationship with plaza ownership now. That's disappointing.
Plaza used to have security.
They did. Outstanding security. We all saw it. They looked almost like highway patrolmen. They had straw hats. They walked around consistently. You couldn't go to the plaza without seeing them. We need to have that step. You also need to see a discussion about how you have a change in uses. I have talked about pedestrianizing streets in the Country Club Plaza.
I was going to ask
Worry
you that,
not.
Yeah.
Not 47th Street, but things like Nichols Road and others to make it so there is more of a plaza, actually, in the way that you see in many other places. In New York City, you've seen that done with streets like Fifth Avenue on special occasions to make sure you have that. That's another key step. And then finally, making sure that we are actually doing infill development. You should not have a dirt pit in the middle of the Country Club Plaza. That's the Nordstrom proposed site where nothing's happening. City government is ready to work with folks. We are ready to help exercise whatever zoning powers we have, whatever efficiencies we can build to help generate more excitement on the plaza. But what I continue to hear from people and developers is that, well, you know, the current owners perhaps bought it for a lot. They may not have the desire to put a bunch of money in. And I think that's frustrating for a truly regional, if not national, jewel here in Kansas City.
Well, is this what you get when you have out-of-town owners of something this significant in our city?
You know, I think it's fair to say yes.
Mm-hmm.
For years, we have had, first of all, of course, with the Nichols Company, but even Highwoods Properties kept a strong local presence, that sort of connection with Kansas City, with what was desired here. I hope we continue to build that. And there was this uniqueness to the plaza, which is something we are all fighting to not lose. Just having, let's say, an outlet that you can find at three other shopping centers around the region is not something special. I continue to believe the plaza is a very special place. You have great density nearby, great walkability, but that is probably in what I believe to be my next term, most likely, an area where we will try to have renewed focus.
I was going to say, this is becoming an area of increasing concern, it sounds like.
It is.
Yeah.
You know, who would have thought? And I'm perhaps not old enough to know it, but I talk to people all the time who say in the 70s and 80s, the fancy restaurants were on the plaza,
mm-hmm.
right? That was where you took your great dinner, anything like that, out-of-town guests. That has largely shifted to downtown Kansas City, if not perhaps a few other areas even around the region.
Right.
I think that we do have a real moment of issue. I won't necessarily say crisis because there are bigger ones in Kansas City. But we have this moment where we need to say, all right, what are we doing to help preserve the plaza for the future? But I call on ownership to work with us, as well as our nearby neighborhoods who are working hard to make sure we get, I think, in a better direction there.
Another question from our text line. During candidate debates before his election, Mayor Lucas indicated that he would judge his success as mayor based on a decrease in the Kansas City, Missouri murder and crime rate. Given his failure to achieve his self-imposed metric, how does Mayor Lucas feel he has performed in his first term? Was his metric realistic, or was he naive in his prior assessments of council members' failure to impact crime?
That almost sounds like a question written by Dave Helling, although I know it's not. It's a very good one. It's one I've been asked a few times. How would I assess my first term? I think we've been very successful in almost every regard. We've resurfaced more roads. We've invested more in affordable housing than anyone in the history of Kansas City. We have seen outstanding economic development. Our greatest weakness relates to violent crime, and I would say that openly and honestly to anyone who asks. I think that what we have done, though, is tried any number of efforts. I have tried mightily, with some pushback along the way, to invest in prevention of violent crime, something that at a certain point, Missouri, others around us need to see as the core issue for why we continue to have this trend of violent crime year after year.
And we're back doing that again now.
We're back invested in more, and that is a good step. But I will tell you this, the police budget, contrary to what some of my perceived recallers and others were saying years before, we have increased the police budget significantly each year. Even this year's budget sees a 4.3% increase in the Kansas City Police Department. And so we have continued to fund the police, counter to what Republicans in Jefferson City may say. What we need to do is truly invest in violence prevention. We have not been able, I think, to do that to the level I would have liked. We have new investments now, which I think do make a difference. But yes, what makes Kansas City great as compared to as good as we are now is if we address our violent crime issue long term. And that's, I think, a huge focus of what we need to do over the next 4 years.
I was going to say, as of yesterday, the city stood at 34 homicides for the year. That's the same number at this point in the year as where we stood on March 21st in 2020, when the city set a record for the most homicides in its history. You know, it's not getting any better.
Yeah, I think it is fair to say it's not getting any better. And I'm not going to, well, I'll say this. There are many reasons. It doesn't mean that we don't have to look to the reasons ourselves. It is incredibly easy to obtain a firearm. I was at a panel the other day with a 14-year-old and who was talking about how he could get a gun. And I said, how do you do that? He said, oh, it's just easy. I just go ask somebody up the street. I mean, we have taken away every tool, including tools for law enforcement, to be able to stop the trafficking of firearms. That's why Kansas City has been successful in suing firearms manufacturers, or pardon me, traffickers, and we will continue to do that as much as I can. But we also need to make sure that we are looking at our investment in prevention long term. We will do that as well as the enforcement we've been doing for the last 50 years. But I will say this to anyone listening. If we're just doing things the same way we've been doing 50 years, and I grew up in a pretty dangerous city, you know, the numbers may change a little bit year to year, but when I was a kid in the 80s and 90s, it was still a dangerous place, and it still is today. And the only through line that's been consistent is that we're funding police about the same, that we have jails and all of these things, but that we are underinvested in prevention. I would say we are under at least cooperating with our educational community, and those are steps that need to change if we make a difference. The cities where you have seen change in neighborhoods that are impacted by violent crime, largely because of their investment and their ability to improve quality of life. Just looking at kind of in-run things, giving longer sentences, whatever ideas the legislature ever throws out, is not going to be the long-term solution.
You know, you wonder how much this is holding us back, this concern about crime. You know, when I talk to my friends, it comes up more than it used to. You know, do you feel safe here? Do you feel safe there? That's something new in my lifetime, and yet it's part of our conversation these days.
When we are writing off, or at least when some are writing off substantial percentages of the city's geographic territory because of perceptions and fears of violent crime, you have an issue. And yes, we are hearing people who talk about it in perhaps more areas of Kansas City than they used to. But if we had an honest conversation with realtors around this region and talked about, hey, I have this great home in the, let's say, whatever neighborhood. I won't name one to not offend anyone. You know, a lot of people bring up the crime issue, the public safety issue. It's highly listed. And I'm somebody who wants to see us reverse our still dramatic decline in population in Kansas City south of the river. Mm-hmm. We continue to lose about 1,000 people a year in the Jackson County portion of Kansas City. And a big part of that relates to crime. It relates to at least perceptions of danger to them. Even if it's not realized, actually, and how our crime stats usually work, a lot of people who find themselves harmed usually might be engaged in some areas or some lifestyles. But nonetheless, it's something that we need to address. And it's something that if we don't, I think it will hold the city back, and we will become more like a St. Louis, where you continue to see their population bottoming out under 300,000 from a high of 800,000 50 years ago.
Wow. Is there anything different happening on Kansas City streets these days that you're aware of, Mayor? I mean, more gang activity, more narcotics trafficking, anything that would be causing this ongoing run of gun violence that we see?
I think there is less fear of penalties. I think there is a higher likelihood in more situations of retaliation. You are hearing anecdotally more tales from Kansas City police officers about parties that are shooting back and forth at each other with an officer present, right? And so there'll be officers there too. And so you're getting more Wild West behavior from people that feel like they have nothing to lose. When I talk to people who may be involved in a life on the streets, right, they're saying more words relating to, you know, I don't even think I'll be alive by the age of 20. So what do I have to worry about? These are folks, this is why, and it's not just feel-goody stuff. This is why we need to get to more 12-year-olds, 13-year-olds, talk about the opportunities and the solutions that exist for them. It not only can make our streets safer, it builds the workforce we need in this city. It starts to address a lot of the neighborhood issues we have. But I think you are seeing more of that sheer lack of hope that when I was growing up, some people had it. But yeah, you were seeing a lot more crime relating to you were robbing some people. You were carjacking someone. Right. A lot of our murders and shootings now are just, I'm shooting back at somebody who shot back at my cousin or my associate some time ago.
Well, the Missouri House leaders, Don and Jeff City Mayor, say they're helping here. They've passed a bill that provides for the appointment of special prosecutors to address violent crime in cities that meet a specific homicide case rate. St. Louis would be one city that would be affected by this. I'm not sure if Kansas City would. How much of an impact would this have on violent crime around the state, as far as you know?
It will have absolutely no impact on violent crime in the state of Missouri. This is the continuing plantation mentality of those in the Missouri House and the Missouri Senate to control the electoral choices of the cities with all the black people. I mean, let's just call it what it is. And it will impact, of course, lots of people who aren't black along the way. We have a white female prosecutor in the Jackson County portion of Kansas City, who, by the way, is used as a punching bag a number of times on all of these issues. But it's folks that usually are just really rehashing Fox News talking points, but not interested in any way in how we can address the violent crime issue. And if you go over to St. Louis, it's the same thing. I have no idea how being entirely anti-democratic and saying that people in the city of St. Louis or perhaps in Kansas City in the future shouldn't have the rights to elect their own officials is going to make a difference. You know, I've read with some interest stories of criminal incidents in other places. The gentleman who was driving irresponsibly and killed one of our police officers recently, I understand he had a rap sheet in, I believe, Tonganoxie, Kansas.
Right.
What I have not heard is anyone saying that prosecutor should be recalled or subject to dramatic sanctions or how this is some indictment on what I would assume are conservative prosecutors.
Yeah.
Because it just doesn't fit into the talking points at issue. There continues to be this war on the American city. It is good for left-right talking points from the right perception. And this has nothing to do with making us safer. The Missouri legislature wanted to make us safer. Help us get guns out of the hands of domestic abusers. Help us get guns out of the hands of minors. Things they could easily do.
Right.
And actually aren't that controversial according to polls.
Yeah.
But they're not. And so we play these talking points and we get nowhere. And the state becomes a worse place to live because it becomes more violent because they aren't actually willing to have any real solutions.
Now, Mayor, just two final points here. We had Josh Merchant of the Beacon on the show last week talking about this idea that under the new state law, we have to dedicate 25% of our general fund to the police department. But there's some concern over what constitutes revenue coming into the city, what needs to be counted as we calculate what that 25% should be. And there's concern that under a certain calculation, if it goes against us, that this could actually bankrupt the city. You sit on the Board of Police Commissioners that's brought a lawsuit against the city for what should be counted in terms of revenue. How concerned should we be about where we're headed here?
I do believe that if the police board's argument is accepted by the courts, it would go towards a path of bankrupting the city. I don't think the police board has any interest in it because this is another entirely anti-democratic institution that, you know, I don't think has a real interest in the ongoing operations or functions of the city of Kansas City and its ability to fix sidewalks or build roads or actually invest in violence prevention. They're just, you know, there for a monthly meeting. They meet less than a lot of your neighborhood associations to say rah-rah KCPD and then keep it moving. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just a bizarre system that every mayor I've ever talked to says, how does that even work? Where is the accountability? And I say, largely, there's none. On the 25%, though, I'll say this, right? Even with the 25%, we received, or at least something close to 25%, we received a request from the police chief last week for another $13 million. Look, this is government completely without accountability. It seems to be the opposite of all the Republican Party principles I heard when I was growing up, people like Bob Dole and others. And I think, as we see, it continues to have this status quo impact on, right, on outcomes in Kansas City. I don't think the board's argument will be adopted. I think it will be a years-long suit. And I guess I'll wrap with this. When this whole kerfuffle started some years ago, I remember sharing with the then police chief, I think, unfortunately, we'll be going down the path of the long-term Kansas City School District desegregation litigation.
Right.
Where after 20 years, there's no side that really wins. We're all losing. I would call on the Board of Police Commissioners to actually try to say, all right, how can we work with the city? And by work with the city, not just ask for more money all the time for new helicopter engines or whatever it is they perceive we need. Work with the city to say how we can become safer.
Are we going to see that new landfill built in South Kansas City, or is that not going to happen?
I find that landfill to be very unlikely to be constructed, although seems to be the story that creates more energy and interest every day without any real story with it. I don't think the landfill gets built. We passed at least our legislation to slow down any type of process. I don't see it happening.
That's Kansas City Mayor Quentin Lucas. Mayor, always appreciate your time. Appreciate you sharing your views.
Thanks so much.
Up to Date is produced by Zach Wilson, Reginald David, Elizabeth Ruiz, Zach Perez, and Hannah Cole. Our intern is Claudia Brancart. Our announcer and engineer is Paul Nakatura. Our theme music is composed and performed by the great Bobby Watson. I'm Steve Kraske. Thanks for listening.
You listen to this podcast every day because it's your KC local reliable news source. You take us seriously. But you know, we like to get down and we want you to party with us. Join us at our annual benefit Radioactive on June 14th. NPR's All Things Considered host Ari Shapiro is the featured guest at this party, and it's gonna be bumping. You gotta be there. Sponsorship packages and ticket information are available at kcur.org/radioactive.